The Michael Kay Show.
The New York Knicks cannot be the New York Mets in Game 4. They need to make a physical statement in Game 4. You have those extra bodies on the bench that Tibbs never plays? Someone needs a nice, good, intentional, accidental slap across Embiid's face. Needs to happen in Game 4. You cannot allow. I don't care whether he's an MVP or not. I'm not saying you go for the guy's knees and try to end his season, but guys, you don't hit him with a hard Pistons foul. Sort of similar to what happened to DiVincenzo yesterday. You could argue he got completely punched in the face. So someone needs to get racked across the face in the first 5 minutes on Sunday to show them that they're not going to roll over against this team.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm stunned just hearing it again. Because Don, Peter, of the three of us, is the pacifist of the group.
That is true.
And he's advocating for violence.
In this case, Michael, I don't advocate for real violence, okay? But in sports, when we're inside the halls that are sports, physical things happen. And sometimes physical things require physical responses. So I believe Joel Embiid needs to get a nice, a good old rap right to the noggin.
Wow.
I love it.
Now, Don is in the broadcast level in D.C.
Do you notice? Do you hear what his mic sounds like today, Michael?
Sounds beautiful, right?
But he sounds just like I'll write all the numbers down for the Capitals, which is it's where he was.
That's
probably
right.
Same headset, same building. Same vibe.
Joining Don and all of us is our good friend who will do the game on TNT tonight, and that's Kenny Albert. And he'll be calling the game nationally. The game can also be heard and seen on MSG. All the games can be seen on MSG as well. And Don will be doing the play-by-play right here on 98.7 ESPN. Kenny, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Michael. Peter, how are you? I'm keeping Dave Maloney's seat warm here right next to Don.
Now, the paperback is out, right, Kenny, for your book?
The paperback is out. In fact, I have one in my bag here. Paperback released last week. So I know you guys have hardcover copies. I'll have to get to the paperback as well.
Don likes the paperback. It's easier for him to carry into the bathroom. He's a big paperback guy.
It is much easier to carry, for sure.
I will accept yours, but I'm not a paperback guy at all. And he wrote the foreword for the Sports Phone book, Michael.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I did. Michael, you know, I know you work there, and Don and so many other friends and colleagues of ours. I never actually worked there, but, you know, Don, you might recall I was a big fan of the Sports Phone quiz.
I would
head home from high school every day at 3:20 and listen to the quickie quiz question. Actually won it a couple of times.
Now, what you would answer the question, there'd be a call online, and what would you win if you won it?
So I did win on occasion along with friends of mine, and the two prizes that I remember winning, the first were tickets to a Devils game over in you know, in their early seasons at the Meadowlands. And then, Michael, I know, you know, you and I were really close with Dennis D'Agostino, who passed away last year, who was the terrific the public relations executive with the Mets and then the Knicks and worked at Madison Square Garden for many, many years. He actually wrote a book in the early to mid-'80s, this date in Mets history. So I want a copy of Dennis D'Agostino's book, and I think I still have it somewhere to this day.
Excellent. Now, you're going to be calling tonight's game on the television side nationally on TNT. The Rangers have won the first two. I was reading up to Don and Kenny. It's been forever that they went 3-0 in a series. They don't make things easy. Why can they do it this time, and can they do it this time?
Well, I think they certainly can. You know, the Capitals will certainly make a push. It's their first playoff game on home ice. It's always a great atmosphere here. From the Washington standpoint, they're probably looking at it like, you know, we almost tied the game in the last minute. It was a 4-3 final scoring game, too. But, you know, I look at the Capitals. Nobody expected them to make the playoffs this year, and they had a terrific push at the end of the season. They won the last three games, four of the last five, and the Rangers are certainly, when you look at the entire scope of the season, a superior team, winning the President's Trophy, setting a franchise record for points and wins, and they really have no holes, Don. I'm sure you would agree from the goal on out. With Washington, Ovechkin's been quiet. It's been well documented. He has only one shot in the two games, has not scored in his last seven games against the Rangers. But I think the Rangers will probably expect Washington's best tonight, at least at the start. They'll have a big push playing back at home.
And this has been a house of horrors for the Rangers. They've lost five of the last six games down here in D.C., and you know, Oshie and Ovechkin have been Ranger killers in their careers, have a combined three shots in the first two games. So they've done an excellent job there, but as Kenny said, came down to the wire in game two. I'm kind of wondering, and everybody asks me, and I don't know the answer to this, Kenny, how do they bring Hedl into the postseason? I mean, he is an asset. He's healthy. Peter Laviolette says if you're healthy, then it means you're a healthy scratch. And I can't imagine he's going to be a healthy scratch for the length of the playoffs. When and if do they get him in this lineup?
And what a story it will be when and if he returns, because it did not sound like he was going to be a possibility for the remainder of this season when he suffered the setback. So he's been skating, you know, as you know. He's been taking part in practices, and you know, we'll see if and when that does take place. But when you look at what he's been able to do the last couple of years in the postseason, remember the kid line 2 years ago with Hedl, Lafreniere, and Kako, so would certainly be a huge addition. He started the season as the second line center, and then ironically when he got hurt, that's when Trocheck moved up in the lineup.
He won't go back there.
And had the best year of his career, as did both of his line mates.
Now, you mentioned Ovechkin, two games, one shot on goal. Is it because of what the Rangers are doing, or is it because he's an old player and you know there's not much there anymore, although he finished very strong?
I think it's a combination. When you look at his regular season, did not have a good first half, but then really came on strong. Finished with 31 goals, which is incredible for a player his age. But when you look, and you know, Don, you know, you and I have both watched hockey for a long time, and you never really get to know a coach, you know, as well until he's with the team that you cover and watch all the time. And Peter Laviolette's a guy who has had great success, won a Stanley Cup with Carolina, brought the Flyers in Nashville to the final. But I think watching him this year and just the subtle adjustments he makes, the move he makes, you know, the moves he makes with players, you really start to appreciate, you know, how good of a coach he is. And, you know, whether it was, you know, throwing out the fourth line, Rempe, Goodrow, and Vesey, in game one for the second shift of each period and getting them into the flow early, or double shifting Panarin at certain times, which paid off in a goal in game one. And then defensively, defending Ovechkin. He coached the Capitals the last 3 years, so he knows Ovechkin really as well as anybody, knows his strengths and weaknesses. And the one thing that we did see, Michael, over the first two games is that the Rangers, the home team, has the last change, and they tried to get that Trocheck line out against Ovechkin as much as they could, because Ovechkin's, you know, not one of his strengths is not defending. So when the Rangers had that line on the ice, it caused a lot of problems. We saw the giveaway Ovechkin on the, you know, when Zibanejad stripped the puck, and that led to a goal in game two. So a little different here in Washington. The Caps have the last change, but, you know, don't discount the fact that Peter Laviolette coached Washington the last 3 years and knows their personnel very well.
You know, you brought up Peter, and we've seen the difference between this year and last year. Not that the Rangers were bad last year. They had 107 points, but just you could see their structure. And the other thing I give Peter credit for is how well Alexei Lafreniere has matured, and even Kako. You know, we forget Kako missed 33 games. I think we could have seen the same maturation process had he not gotten hurt. What do you think he's done to bring the best out of those two young players?
Well, I think one of the things with Lafreniere, Don, is he moved him to the right side. He was a natural left winger, and for the first you know, four seasons of his career, or three seasons, he played primarily on the left wing, but he's stuck behind Panarin and Kreider, who are left wings, so he doesn't get a lot of power play time. You know, the minutes are down compared to maybe other first overall picks who wind up getting drafted by bad teams lower in the standings. He went to a good team, and sometimes it takes a little extra time for an 18 or 19 year old. He also came into the league during the pandemic, so didn't play in the World Junior Tournament, didn't really have a summer camp or a training camp, so it was kind of a weird start to his career time wise. This year, Laviolette moves him over to the right wing, so he's on that second line with Panarin, and first Hedl, and then Trocheck comes in, and it led to the best season so far of his NHL career.
Would both of you guys think that, I mean, there's no sure things, But if the Rangers don't at least make the Stanley Cup Finals, that it would be a disappointing season.
I would say at least the conference final. Because here's what I would say, Kenny. You won the President's Trophy. You haven't won a cup in 30 years. But I look at Florida. I look at Carolina. Like, how could you look at it as a failure if you lost to those two teams? They're so good, especially right. Carolina. So, Michael, I hear what you're saying, but next up would be Carolina. They might end up sweeping the Islanders, and they're the second-best team in the league to me. Point-wise, it might be the best team in the league overall. You saw what Florida did last year. Like, those are probably the two teams you're going to have to face to get to the Stanley Cup Final. So, I mean, how do you look at it as a disappointment based on the opposition?
I think the Rangers, as they're built, are certainly good enough to go all the way, yeah. Go to the final, win the Stanley Cup. Wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I agree with Don. There are a lot of good teams. And you know, we both worked with Dave Maloney for 19 years. And if he said it once, he said it 100 times. Only one team can win at the end of every season, every sport. So 31 teams don't win. It's not that easy. And, you know, you mentioned Carolina. I saw Florida last night, worked their game down in Tampa. They have a 3-0 lead on the Lightning. Boston and Toronto, you know, we'll see how that series plays out. So there are probably six teams in the East right now who think they can win the Stanley Cup, and the Rangers are certainly one of them.
Let's talk about what happened with the Islanders last night. You know, we talked about this yesterday, Don. They went back to their goalie who has his 8-year contract kicking in next year, and they got pulled after one period, and, you know, the three goals he gave up ended up holding up. They've got themselves a goalie problem, guys.
It seems that way. I mean, obviously, I supported the decision, Kenny, to have Sorokin play because you want to just change the vibe, kind of like what the Devils did last year in the series with the Rangers. It didn't work. Varlamov was great in the first two games. Sorokin gave up, you know, at least two of those three goals were not great. Probably cost them the game. I think if Varlamov plays, they win. And it ended up being a mistake by Patrick. Well, I don't think they would have won the series anyway, but now you have no shot.
Right, and I saw that they will be starting Varlamov tomorrow. And, you know, it's fascinating because who made the decision? One of the greatest goaltenders in NHL history. And I know he referenced the fact that when he was in Montreal and Brian Hayward was his backup early in his career, he said, you know, I was the Ferrari, he was the Cadillac. And he made the same analogy to Sorokin, the Ferrari, Varlamov, the Cadillac. And did go with Varlamov in the first two games. They certainly could have won the first game, and then despite getting outshot by a wide margin, they had a 3-0 lead in game two. So, you know, from an Islander standpoint, it's disappointing. They scored only six goals in the series and starts Sorokin last night and gets pulled after allowing the three goals.
All right, listen, we can hammer them, Michael, but they're just not in the same class as Carolina.
And it's similar to Washington, I think. The Islanders made such a big push at the end of the season, right?
Right.
8-0-1 over their last nine games to make the playoffs, and then they run into a Carolina team that's certainly one of the top teams in the NHL.
Well, what do you do? I mean, let's talk broader scope with the Islanders. What do you do for the Islanders? Sorokin's contract kicks in next year. It's an 8-year deal. If Waugh remains your coach, is there a goalie issue now?
Well, no, I think you keep both. You know, Sorokin has a long contract. They signed Varlamov to that 4-year deal a couple of years ago. He was with Waugh previously in Colorado. And, you know, look at Boston with Swayman and Ullmark, who alternate. They had a terrific regular season last year, and now Swayman's won the two games. There's been a little bit of controversy, you know, when he started Ullmark in game two, and we'll see what happens the rest of the series and playoffs in Boston. But, you know, certain teams have that one goaltender that they ride throughout, and then sometimes you do see the two, not as much with championship teams, I guess, over the last several years, but it's worked for Boston during the regular season and so far in the playoffs this year.
Ultimately, you have to determine, was this just a bad year for Sorokin, or is it the sign of things to come? Because this is a world-class goaltender. This is a Vezina Trophy candidate goaltender that just happened to have a bad year. And you look at the Rangers, you look at the struggle Shesterkin went through. He didn't live up to expectations last year based off of what he did in 21-22. Had a really bad January this year. So that's why great organizations have to make decisions. Is this just a hiccup, or is this a sign of things to come? He's got, I guess, his no-trade clause kicks in July. I don't think they would deal him, but Kenny's right. You usually want to have a quality backup goaltender to move forward, but I still think Sorokin's their guy.
No, it's never the smartest thing in the world to criticize Lou, who's been doing it forever, a Hall of Famer. But he has stood pat for a while with this team and not made big moves. So, I mean, does this team have to just be changed completely if the Islanders want to advance?
You know, he has made a couple of moves. You look at Pageau, right, a couple of years ago. Horvat last year, you know, that was a pretty significant move prior to the All-Star break.
He didn't make a move at the deadline.
Didn't make one this year.
And I guess you could say he didn't need to because look at how well they played down the stretch. But
yeah,
this
but
year
it's making
was the coaching
the playoffs
change,
enough.
Right? Coaching change was the big move this year.
But I look at them and I say that they're short. Right? They're just Barzal has not turned out to be the offensive player they thought. You know, they've got nice players. They're not the defensive team they used to be. They need to probably start to move forward. And I can understand the question: is Lou a guy in his late 70s, early 80s, a guy that you want to do that with, or do you want to make a change? I don't know. Ledecky's got some very interesting decisions to make because in this division, where you got the Rangers, you got Carolina. I think New Jersey's going to bounce back. I think Columbus has a very nice future. You saw what Philadelphia could put together. You know, you could all of a sudden find yourself being the eighth team in this division and not being able to dig yourself out.
You know, you said you were in Florida last night, Kenny, and now you're in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, because you do national games and you do the Rangers as well. Do you ever wake up in a hotel and not know where you are?
Oh, wow.
You know, now, Michael, and you could probably relate to this with all your travels, I do take a picture of the hotel room number just to be safe, just in case. Because oftentimes the previous room number kicks into your head. So this is a four-day stretch, Tampa, D.C., Islanders tomorrow afternoon for TNT, and then back here on Sunday. So definitely take a photo of the hotel room.
You know, when I was doing basketball, I would sometimes get disoriented, like when I did the Nets, and I would put an index card on the mirror in the hotel. It says, you know, Cleveland, Milwaukee. It's just, you know, you didn't know where you woke up. So with you, it's even worse because every day you could be in someplace different.
And you guys remember the great Sal Red Light Messina, Hall of Fame broadcaster with the Rangers. Back in the late 90s, we once arrived at a hotel with the team at about 2:30 in the morning, and Sal couldn't figure out why the key card wasn't working. It turns out he was trying to use the Rangers pocket schedule to open up the hotel room. He had it in his pocket.
I think that went beyond just a lot of work and travel. There was other issues, it sounds like.
Yeah, that didn't work.
With Sal. We love him. We're just kidding. But, you know, Michael, you know, we're busy. I got hockey. You got baseball. It's not just the different games, the different cities, different sports. I mean, this year you were doing, you know, filling in, doing Nick radio and television. During the football season, you do NFL. You got baseball coming up, too. I mean, I can't think of anybody that leaps to mind that does four sports as consistently as Kenny.
Well, certain times of year it does get crazy. You know, October, November, December, when football takes place on weekends, and then whether it's the Rangers or TNT, and then working about 15 games when I'm filling in for Mike Breen on Knicks television, but those are also the most fun times of the year, I feel.
I never hear it, but like, have you ever called a Panther game in the NFL and slip and say Florida Panthers?
You know,
never call a Nick Celtic game and slip and say Bruins?
I do have to remind myself occasionally. It's never come out on the air, fortunately, but you have the Florida Panthers in hockey, the Carolina Panthers in football, and the Carolina Hurricanes in hockey. So there are little reminders, but to me, it's some of the phrases. In football, it's the play clock, but in basketball, it's the shot clock.
Right.
And there are a couple of other examples like that where there are similar words, but different depending on what sport it is.
It's now, humbling to fill in for a guy, Michael, that never makes a mistake.
That's not true.
Well, dude, I mean, like, because you did a game last night, when you're doing tonight's game, do you just etch a sketch all the numbers that you memorized from last night's game and just plug new ones into your head?
You know what? The playoffs are almost easier once you do a game in a series. And obviously tonight and Sunday, it's the Rangers, so I'm around all the time. And I worked the first two games of this series, game one on the TV side at MSG with Joe Micheletti, game two on the radio side with Dave. I'll do at least one game in all four East series come 2 o'clock tomorrow. I work game one, Boston-Toronto, game three, Tampa-Florida last night, game four of the Islanders-Carolina tomorrow. So for a day or two before the playoffs start, you know, just catching up on the other teams, the preparation. But once I work one game in a series, it's kind of easy from there because you watch the games, whether you're working the game or not. I'm taking a car with Brian Boucher, my partner, after this game to Long Island, staying at a hotel. It's a 2 o'clock game tomorrow. We've already planned. We're going to watch the Islanders game from last night during the car ride. I've already read everything, but that's the plan tonight, about 11 at night. We'll probably have some pizza, and we'll be watching Game 3 of the Islanders Hurricanes.
It's actually very rare, Michael, that Kenny and I are at the same game.
I know.
It's very rare. A
couple of times a year, not too often.
Very
not
seldom, too often. And it's usually under these types of circumstances.
I'm just appreciating the moment, seeing the two of you together.
Yeah.
I hope you guys, someone needs to snap a photo of this.
I did, right.
All right, good.
And Don's not too fond of Kenny either, so it's
simply
listen,
not
you're
true.
You're going to hear some things in your travels. Would you ever poison Kenny? How would you feel if Kenny died? These are things I don't think about. I'm asked about.
Can I tell you my favorite memory of Don?
This
is about 3 or 4 summers ago, right?
Yeah.
So at my house, there's a cul-de-sac in front. And how old were your kids then?
Probably 2.
So they were pretty worn out, right? So it was a summer barbecue, and Don's kids are in the pool, and they're running around, and it was time to leave, and you were holding both of them in your arms, and you just looked exhausted. And you put them down at the bottom of the cul-de-sac, and they start running around, and Don's chasing after them. I wish I had the video camera out there.
A broken down man chasing his children. I love it.
He just looked. It's the most exhausted I've ever seen him.
And you brought up the barbecue, which is a very sensitive subject on the show.
Michael was invited last year.
But I was doing a game.
You wanted to reschedule it?
That's why we had the barbecue that day.
I feel like I pushed the invite, though. That makes me a little uncomfortable, Kenny.
You're welcome Don's anytime. Peter, you too.
Thank you. I might take you up on it.
Love it. Love it.
Love to have you.
Kenny, have a great call on TNT tonight.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Peter. Don?
Yes, thanks, man.
Always good to see you in person.
It's always a pleasure, buddy.
See you Sunday.
All right, so Don's going to be doing the play-by-play tonight right here on 98.7. So our coverage will begin right after the show. And then we also want to remind you, Kenny was on because he's doing TNT, but the game will also be on MSG with the great Sam Rosen.
That's right.
And Joe
Micheletti.
So we got you covered, baby. We got you
covered. So MSG is actually telling our audience not to watch you tonight. Are you comfortable with that?
They're also probably saying, if you do watch me, turn down the sound and put on Don and Dave, right?
I don't know if they're thinking that, but I do. I hope our audience does that.
Beautiful. 1-800-919-3776. Rangers and the Hurricanes game 3 tonight. All those places you could watch it and hear it. But first, Don's going to tell you about BetMGM.
The New York Rangers are back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's time to take the ice for playoff action with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. BetMGM has you covered with countless betting options from hockey, including same-game parlays, props, teasers, live bets, and so much more. With a new and improved app that makes betting faster and easier than ever, and special offers for Ranger fans, it's no wonder BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. If you love hard-hitting hockey action, you're going to love wagering at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of the excitement as the Rangers return to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Light the lamp with BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Madison Square Garden and the New York Rangers. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21+ years of age to wager and physically present in New York and New Jersey only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available in New Jersey. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. More selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire Mazda lineup. Lease a new 2024 Mazda CX-5 2.5S Select all-wheel drive, just $239 a month at Ramsey Mazda. Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN R0413315. MSRP $30,750. Ends 4/30/20.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968. Let me give you a pinstripe report. It's brought to you by Bet365. Couple of bits of news. The Yankees optioned Cody Morris to AAA. They added Michael Tonkin to the 26-man roster. Now, the story of Tonkin is amazing. He started the season with the Mets, pitched a couple of games. They designated for him for assignment. He's picked up by the Twins. He pitched one game. They designated him for assignment. Picked up by the Mets, pitched a game, designated for assignment, picked up by the Yankees, and now he's on the Yankees. So, not exactly settling in. I hope he does not have long-term leases.
No, but at least he's getting a chance at the majors, getting several chances at the majors.
Now, how about this? This really, I don't know why, but this number jumped out at me. It's Aaron Judge's birthday today.
Okay.
Ooh.
He's 32. That's what happens
like
when you're a player that goes to college. And
yeah.
I'm a big college advocate.
He's a man of college.
Man of words.
Yeah.
So he's 32 today. Yankees ended up splitting 4 games with the A's. Yesterday's game, they left so many men on base, did not get the clutch hit. And when you look at the Yankees right now and you see their record, they're so fortunate. They still have not hit. They have not hit. And they're winning because of their starting pitching, which we were all afraid of when Gerrit Cole went down. Their starting pitching is fourth in the majors in ERA. Luis Gil will start tonight against Colin Ray of Milwaukee, but they're doing this and their offense has not clicked. And you would assume that it's going to click, but it has not clicked.
And even when they score, Michael, it's in bunches. Like, they have a lot of runs in, the other night they won 4-3 and all their runs came in the first inning. Like, they've got so many zeros. You look at their box score, there's so many innings in which they don't score.
Yep. And that was the whole homestand, too. They were 4-3 on the homestand, and they just pretty much scored an inning each game. I think there was one game where they scored a couple of innings. That was the third game, I believe, against the A's. But strange, very strange, but they've kept their head above water to a good extent. This is going to be a pretty difficult road trip. Milwaukee's very good. You have 3 games here, and then they play the Orioles 4 times in Baltimore, starting on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon. That's the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, never ordinary at Bet365. Also, highly touted, number one prospect in all of baseball, Jackson Holliday was called up well before anybody thought the Orioles would call him up, simply because of the fact that they would have been able to keep him 7 years rather than 6. He's represented by Scott Boras, and they brought him up anyway because he was killing it at AAA. He just got optioned down to AAA. He just didn't hit in the big leagues. And nobody expects him to fail at the big leagues. He's that great. But he didn't hit. This is a hard sport, Don.
It's hard, and there is a huge gap between AAA and the majors. There just is. And it should be the biggest gap. But guys go from single A, double A, triple A, and you just think, all right, well, the next step is the major leagues. That's a gargantuan step. Some can do it, and I'm sure he will, Michael, but he was just overwhelmed.
Strange. Very strange.
Wow. It's
but
hard
that's
sport.
Life. That's life. Let's take some phone calls.
Shall we?
Let's Show do that. Let's go to Mark in Florida. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Hey, was looking ahead at the end of the season, thinking the Yankees really should let Gleyber Torres go because he just hasn't been what they expected when they got him like 7-8 years ago. I was wondering what your thought was about that.
I never thought they were going to re-sign him, Mark. So no matter what type of season he has, you know, they've got to keep the payroll somewhat under control. They've got young players that they could plug in, maybe like a Peraza. Vivas is somebody that they like a lot. And, you know, those guys will play for $1 million a year. So I believe that this is Gleyber's last year. Unless he takes an incredible discount to stay with the Yankees, I'm not quite sure why he would do that. I know he loves it here. But, you know, this is the way you earn your living, and he's having a terrible, terrible season. Let's go to Matt in New Haven. Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. What's up?
Not bad. Not bad. Listen, I think we got to give some credit to what Matt Blake is doing. You know, I was worried about the pitching staff when, you know, it first started. But now in the offense, you know, ever since, it really, all these shutouts, every single game, if we lose, it's on the offense every single year. It's crazy. But, you know, Matt Blake finds a way to find a Clay Holmes, find a Dennis Santana, make it into a stud. So I just don't know. You know, every single year we look at the lineup and we're like, oh, wow, look at Soto and Judge. They are going to be the highlight of this team. And then it's always seems to be the pitching staff. So I think we got to, you know, give a round of applause to Matt Blake. When you see Clay Holmes or someone in there, it just they find a way.
I would agree. And let's not forget Ian Hamilton. They make it work in the bullpen. And he's making it work with the starters. He's a good pitching coach. He's a good pitching coach and, you know, has a nice resource as well with Andy Pettit around a lot this year where they could talk about situations that Andy was in. But Matt could break down all the analytics and break down pitch paths and things like that and things that work for you. He's been a very good pitching coach for the Yankees. Joey in Montclair. Joey.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for having me on again. Love the show. Happy Friday. Let's go, Rangers.
There you go.
Listen, I'm not an advocate for violence, but I agree 100% with Peter. If that's the way the Sixers are going to play, I want to see Jericho Sims get some minutes and put a little extra emphasis on Embiid's leg. You know, I have three kids, and I tell them all the time, it's never okay to be a bully, but it's absolutely okay to defend yourself.
Well, I don't like, I mean, it makes me a little uneasy, Joe. To like target his knee, I just say be physical with him.
Yeah, that's it. Make him bad.
That's all you have to be is be. But the hard thing, Jericho Sims is huge, right?
Yeah.
Embiid's bigger. Embiid's gigantic. He's gigantic. It's not going to be easy to bully him.
No, but you got to push back somehow. Like, there's not a lot of guys that are his size. There's not that many guys that are as good as he is. But sometimes just showing up is enough to let them know, we're not going to take this. We're not. Let the rest of the league know, hey, you're not going to be able to push us around. We plan on getting out of this series, and whether it's Milwaukee or Indiana or whoever we're going to face as we move down the line, hey, you want to try to bully us, we're going to push back. People get caught up in having to win the fight. Sometimes winning is just showing up and just showing some resistance. You're not going to get help in the league. You're going to have to help yourself. If you're not going to help yourself, then you know what you are? You're a pushover. And you're going to encourage everybody else to do the same. This now becomes part of the game plan, guys. That if the Sixers end up winning this game, even if the Knicks survive and win the series, they're going to go to school. We can get under their skin. We can push them, and they're not going to push back. And that's not New York. That's not this Knicks team. Everything they do is the hard way. This is another example of that. And I hope Thibodeau kind of sets the tone here.
And Don mentioned hockey earlier. Hockey is the approach. It's the thing to look at. Like the fact that someone said earlier, and I understand their point, but I disagree. If you didn't do it in the moment, it can't have the impact. I totally disagree. There is a reason where a team trying to turn around a series in hockey will 30 seconds into a game drop the gloves and fight, because it's about setting a tone in that game. And as we pointed out, you have multiple players with six fouls you can waste, where there's no hey. Jericho Sims being kicked out of a game 40 seconds in could do enough. It could set the tone that we're not here to play around. That's all they got to do.
I forget who said it. I'm sure somebody on Twitter. You know, if you can't beat them on the ice, can't beat them on the court, beat them in the field, beat them in the alley. That has to be the mentality. And when you think about it, that's in this Knicks team's DNA. The last time they were competing for a championship, that was Oakley, that was Mason, that was Ewing. That was the way. Now, the game was different back then. Now it's completely reversed. But that's why you got to find a way to be able to at least handle yourself. Don't let this team push you around.
Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn. Jay.
Mike, Don, Peter, Tribal Chief, I apologize if I sound extremely infuriated and angry.
Good, you should.
First off, if you're okay, just give me two points. One is the Knicks got robbed last night. The refs, we knew it was going to happen in game three. You guys have been spot on. They got to come out and they got to punch them in the face when they get to game four. But here's the thing. It was only until the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter did the Philadelphia 76ers put the Knicks away. And that was only because of two turnovers we inflicted on ourselves. When OG hit those two threes back-to-back, the Knicks were still there, and we scare the crap out of Philly right now. And they know it. The momentum is here in New York. We are the better team. My second point, and this goes to the Yankees, when do we hold the coach and staff accountable to the lack of offense on this team? We keep talking about it. Everything is always, we need the next pitcher. We need the best batter. We need the best player. We could blame Cashman, we could blame Steinbrenner, we could blame them all. At the end of the day, they are giving us tools to put together a championship team on the field. We are placing a championship team on the field, and yet we cannot have our offense click and make it happen. When do we blame the coaching staff?
Okay. They fired a coach already. They fired a coach. Dylan Lawson. Sean Casey came. He did not come back. Now it's James Rousen is going to. I mean, when do we blame the players, Jay? Right. Why is it always the coaches? They have blamed coaches. They fired coaches. Dylan Lawson was fired.
Mike, if you're okay, just give me a second here. I hear you. We can blame the players. Yes. They have a responsibility to get into practice, into training, correct their swing, own the ownership of the success that they are producing. But there's not a single player that's on the Yankees here that doesn't want to succeed. They're here because they want to succeed.
So you don't think coaches want to succeed?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. But that's why I'm saying, when do we figure out that they are just not capable of succeeding?
But they already. But Jay, you're ignoring the fact they fired Dylan Lawson. And then they brought Sean Casey, a completely different hitting coach, in, and he didn't come back. And now they have James Rousen. When is it the players' fault? They have blamed the coaches.
So
you want James Rousen fired after, like, 27 games?
Or is this a shot at Boone?
This is not a shot at Boone. Please understand. I'm not saying everything is Boone's fault. I'm not the crazy Yankees fan, I promise. I'm not saying everything is Boone's fault. But there are other individuals that are responsible for the offense. Now, you talk about Dylan Lawson. They fired Lawson, and then they made this whole big rant and speech after last season that we need to understand the analytics and have it connect with our players better. So you're giving us the spiel. You're preaching to us that you're going to fix it and change it. I'm not saying fire anyone after 27 games. But at some point, we keep discussing the lack of the success of the players. But if we took this team and we gave it to Dusty Baker in 2023 – would he have better success?
So you are, Jay. You doth protest too much. So you're talking about Boone. Dusty Baker's not a hitting coach.
Right.
You're talking about Boone. I mean, again, you change coaches. When is it on the players? Is it James Rousen's fault that Gleyber Torres hasn't hit? Is it James Rousen's fault that Aaron Judge has not been Aaron Judge? I mean, is it James Rousen's fault that Anthony Rizzo has not been Anthony Rizzo. I mean, you got to say it's his fault about Austin Wells too.
But I love the caller. I love his attitude. But he just didn't want to own it. He's going after Boone. You don't bring up Dusty Baker if you're talking about changing the hitting coach. And Dusty Baker is a Hall of Fame manager. So you don't want to go after Boone because you don't want to be that guy, but you are going after Boone.
You're that guy.
Yeah.
You're that guy. Well, from heated seats to built-in Wi-Fi, Baywatch Mazda has caps with the premium features that you crave. Not caps, cars. Get 0% financing on select new models and prices below MSRP across their entire selection. Plus, every new Mazda comes with 1 year of free oil changes and a free tire rotation. Visit them today at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn or online at BayRidgeMazda.com. Available to qualified buyers. Additional fees may apply. Must take same-day delivery. MSRP discounts not available on future or pre-sold inventory. See dealer for details. Ends 4/30/2024. Hey, everybody, it's Michael K. I love when I get to talk about PC Richard & Son. They're local, family-owned, and they truly care about their customers. Right now at PC Richard & Son, save big on Samsung for your whole house. Samsung appliances up to 35% off. Select Samsung TVs and soundbars up to 35% off. Plus, get up to $1,000 in additional savings when you combine two or more qualifying Samsung products. It's the Samsung Whole House event. Only at our friends at PC Richard & Son.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, the date is set. The date is set, everybody. June 30th of 2024. You know what that date means, Peter?
No.
Congestion pricing will go into effect.
That's the day?
Midnight, June 30th, 2024.
Bad times. Bad times.
Awful.
Ooh, what's going on there? What are they saying, Don?
I don't know. They probably have some sort of testing to see if the thing that's worked all year is still working.
Got it every day. Got to make sure every day.
Every day. Because you don't want the one day it's not working. Say, boy, we should have tested it early.
Yeah. Hey, easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year, the Pickleball Showroom between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Imani Toomer. It's Sunday, May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Now, I don't like to stir it up. You guys know that. Have we ever had an event on this show that has been as promoted as anything that this pickleball event has been and the Citi Field event at Publicans?
Maybe the Beach Bash?
Maybe. But maybe. Everybody's involved in
at
that.
And the holiday.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing. But then again, I don't listen to every second of other shows the way I listen to every second of this show. So is it possible that they do? We just don't hear it as much?
No, no, I don't think it's possible.
Okay. All right.
Let me try this one on for you, Michael. Is it possible that the Pinhead Suits just prefer that show to this one?
I think that's it. That's it. And, you know, I understand it's a very good show.
Fantastic.
Although I got the date when I'm doing the show with Rick. Very excited about that. Stay tuned and check your local listings for when it's happening.
I haven't got my date yet.
Oh, I've got. I'm doing a show with Rick and with Alan. Two separate shows.
Holy crap!
So not all three together.
No. You know, back in the day, they used to call these tryouts. That's what they used to call them.
Oh, so you think they're going to be?
Wow, that's what you think.
Peter, is he suggesting a shakeup?
I'm not suggesting it. I'm reading the tea leaves, Don. You know, I'm a big tea leaf reader.
So if you had to predict,
yeah.
Now is that based off of any information? Because I'm sure unlike Kirk Cousins, I think you're in a loop.
No, I'm not anymore.
Really?
You're officially out of the loop?
Yeah, I'm out of the loop.
Who's gone that used to keep you in the loop?
So many people were my loopers.
Yeah,
so I caught on as a looper.
You know what? As I think about it, some of the people that are no longer with us were loopers.
By the key Pinhead Soup that you did get the dates. Just check your email for once.
Yeah, I know. We all got the dates. He's such a looper, Michael, that he wants to name his next child Guadalupe.
But that's your kid, Guadalupe.
Right.
Strange times indeed. Let's go to the phones.
Why wouldn't they just tell me?
What was that?
Why would they email me? Why wouldn't you just tell me? I'm with them every day.
Well, why don't you read your email? I mean, it is 2024.
Just ask Nancy what it said.
You know what? I'm not going to look at it.
We have meetings every day. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem that in this day, 2024 of our Lord, right, that you share an email with your wife. It just doesn't make sense.
But that's not how it works. She's never on that. It's my email. But what I'm saying is when you're talking to these people every day, Peter, I'm going to talk to Peter because he doesn't try to stir it the way you do. Wouldn't you mention it? Check your email. Well, why don't you talk to me in the 20 minutes we're talking about the show?
He does say a lot of things. I would have thought he would have said that.
Hey, and everybody's with the emoji smiling. What is this, like some sort of inside joke? Don doesn't look at his emails? That's right. Now I'm going to double down.
You know how Don operates when people start to laugh at him. He doubles and triples.
He says he's good.
Yeah, is that the way we do? Like, I'm not going to wish you happy birthday, Peter. I'll just text you, even though I'm with you every day. Animals.
But we do a lot of other things during the meeting, like you do that special extra show. So maybe they don't have time to squeeze
in. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, all right, let's go. Let's go. You ready? Let's go. We used to do a Don show because I just couldn't stop myself from talking because I'm an opinionated piece of garbage.
Well, I don't know why it has to be
garbage. But now what it's turned out to be is that I'm actually the only one meeting. I have the audacity to talk about what we should be talking about on the show. Sorry if I'm putting the show first above all of your little histrionics. And it's no longer the Don show. It's actually the Michael K show. I'm trying to meet.
But I am strictly opposed to these meetings where I'm going to give my opinions before I give them on the air. I want it the first time to come out of my mouth to be the first time it comes out of my mouth. I'm not going to do it for free on in a meeting.
But I... So I'm wrong?
No, I'm not. You love to talk. I love that about
you. You saw my text today. Michael, I suggested we cancel it today.
Yeah, I mean, you suggest that every day.
No, I don't, though. But I really don't. Today, a day post-draft and with the way the Knicks game played out, I went, if you need to have a show, a meeting to discuss what today's about, you're in the wrong business. Get out.
So Don and I are in the wrong business.
You didn't know. You just showed up. You had nothing else to do. You were sitting in Milwaukee. So what do you care?
Wow. I'm PG-13 in the meeting. I'm XXX on the show.
Okay.
What does that mean?
That's an interesting way of putting it.
I'm showing you some skin during a meeting. But when the show starts, full frontal, baby.
I'm not showing you anything in the meeting.
Yeah. And very little during the show, too.
Now, Peter, is that true?
Which part?
That I don't do anything during the show? I think I bring it hard.
Oh, during the show, you're great. During the meetings, you're god-awful.
Yeah.
Wait, did you hear what I said? Was that you?
How could I help Peter, Don? I don't get it.
Wait, was I kissing
that's
up?
That's your theory on everything.
You bring it during the show.
Hold on. Did you hear the whole sentence? You're so crazy.
Listen, you supporting me on his lack of being involved in the meeting is not needed. It's too obvious.
Fair enough.
It's like saying, oh, I agree with Don. The sky is blue. Thanks, well, Peter.
I'm not going to lie and say he doesn't bring it during the show. Well, sure he does. Eh. It's Michael Kay.
What does that mean?
He's the transmitter.
That is true.
Hey, you know, I don't know if you guys realize this, but I talk for a living. And whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil. Not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. It helps keep me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow Tea number one in New York. Bigelow Tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees. Ah, yes. Love Empire Outlets. Empire Outlets on Staten Island is the place to be this spring season for your ultimate shop and dine experience. Empire Outlets is located steps from the Staten Island Ferry, easily accessible to all New York City and New Jersey residents. Shop outlets like Nike Factory, Levi's Outlet, Banana Republic Factory, Guess Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Gap Factory, Nordstrom Rack, and more. Dine in restaurants including Shake Shack, Bake Culture, and Hazel's 423 Food Truck. Visit empireoutlets.nyc and follow on Instagram at Empire Outlets to learn more about what Empire Outlets is offering.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.